From Harry Hurley Way in the world's playground to the broadcast pioneers of Philadelphia Hall of Fame.
I want to congratulate my friend, Harry Hurley.
You're about to find out why Harry Hurley has been named to the Talkers Magazine list of the 100 most important talk show hosts in the nation. Live from the studios of Town Square Media in Northfield, it's Hurley in the Morning on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
It is 7 minutes past the hour, and the rain is going to leave just in time for the sun to shine on Dr. Ben Carson, Chairman Bob Hugin, a number of senators, assembly members, and so on and so forth, at a great occasion that will be happening tomorrow and on Saturday at Harrah's in Atlantic City. Looking forward to it. A lot of great panel discussions and other presentations that will be happening. Well, I started to feel a little bit better about the price of a gallon of gasoline. Guess I should have filled up yesterday. My day got away from me. I came very close to filling up. I'm a little bit below half a tank. And I thought, I'll get there. And the price has gone up 12 cents in a day, from 403 to 415. And then the premium was at 470-ish. Now it's at 480-something. So that's gone way up again. As stocks fall, because crude oil is priced right now near $122 a barrel. It's a problem. It's a big problem. S&P 500 fell 1.2%, with more than 80% of the stocks in the benchmark closing lower. The Dow and the Nasdaq composite each slid 1.3%. So not a good day. On the Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson front, and I wish I could say this because it was just my plan and I had enough, because that is true. I had enough. The day before, I got to see a little bit of it. Not a lot, a little bit. Yesterday, I saw none of it. I just didn't have a chance. Yesterday was not easy. My head never came up. It was 9 o'clock last night, and it was just a whirlwind of a day. But I kept touch with what was happening. I want to disclose my silence there for a couple of seconds. Was a sneeze. This, even with the rain, this is a cruel allergy season thus far. I'm just wondering, usually you wouldn't even hear me mention it until April 1st. It starts to happen in March, and I just pretty much keep it to myself. But this is a tough one. Then I hear people like Jim Fraser yesterday on the program say he never gets allergies, and he's getting racked with them. So I guess this is going to be a real brutal season, and I am definitely laboring. I'm starting to feel it. The thing about it that's challenging, if you don't have allergies, then you can only empathize. But if you do, you know what I'm talking about. Your eyes red and itchy, and it's horrible. And all I can tell you is, and I try to faithfully adhere to this. Sometimes you just can't stand it. But try at all cost to resist rubbing your eyes. And there's several reasons for this. Number one, it gets completely out of control once you start, and it's not good. People have actually detached retinas, and it is not good to rub your eyes like that. But I understand it becomes unbearable. The congestion, about the best description I can give you, it's sort of, kind of, I notice I'm saying sort of, kind of, not sort of, kind of. It's sort of, kind of, like having the flu for about 2 months. It's just nasty. And this season is early, and it is rough. And it affects everything. It affects your breathing. It affects your sleep. It literally affects everything. So you don't get quality restorative sleep, and then that's not good, and it cavalcades. The key is you have to try to stay ahead of the histamine, because if it takes you over, you basically feel like you're drowning. It's just terrible. So I try to be very disciplined about that. And plus, I want to come on here, and I don't even want to have to talk about it, and I don't want to sound like something I don't want to sound like. So it requires a lot of discipline, a lot of stuff that I don't even want to get into, but just a lot of stuff. So I didn't watch the day two of, or is it, I don't even know, is it day three, is it day two? I forget. I think it was day two. Maybe it was day three of Ketanji Brown Jackson. And I told you this was going to happen, and it's happening. Washington Post, Jackson endures questioning with racial overtones from GOP senators. What a bunch of crap that is. You're a racist. You didn't know it, but you are. And this is what they get away with. They transfer and conflate because you are actually speaking with an African-American woman that everything you do is racist. And I'm sick of this. I'm telling you right now, I will not allow anyone to ever get away with calling me a racist. And I urge you to join me. Do not let anyone ever, unless you are one, but if you're not, don't ever let anyone get away with doing that. Shutting you down, shutting you up because you get called a racist or a sexist. And they're doing that as well. But what were all those Democrats that were carving up Amy Coney Barrett? Were they misogynists? Were they sexist? Were they racists? I am beyond the boiling point when it comes to this Democrat agenda, which they started to take Trump out with because he had made such tremendous progress with African-American voters. And remember, there was a time during his presidency, of course, it was before COVID-19, where I said, if these numbers continue, Democrats cannot, it is impossible, they will not win a national election, and they will lose many other key elections at the state level and below because the numbers were that good. So then they started with the Rumpelstiltskin, you're a racist, peaceful but fiery protests, summer of love. Anybody that goes to jail for assaulting police officers or burning cop cars or breaking storefront windows and setting everything on fire after you rob everything you want. You were a racist if you believed that there should be proper justice meted. You're a racist. Again, you just didn't know it. And they just haven't let up on that. And I'm sick of it. And I'm telling you, we have to find a way to effectively counter it and shut them the hell up with this stuff. I love free speech, but free speech is not you get to lie and make things up, and the other side is just supposed to take it. So I drop the gauntlet all the time. And when I tell you, it doesn't happen to me, because I've made it clear I will not tolerate it. And everybody, don't let them take your power. You have the power to counter that. The first person, and they know it, the first person that calls me something I'm not, I am going to disproportionately respond in a way that will be so massive I'm talking every single thing that I can possibly have in my quiver. Everything, and it's all available to you. You maybe don't have a microphone 4 hours and 6 minutes a day, but you have social media. And I know they can take your stuff down and all these things that they do. I'm wondering, how hasn't Facebook, Twitter, and the rest of them, how haven't they come out and apologized for all the people that they deplatformed? YouTube, all these different people that they completely, utterly censored, who were telling the truth. And even if something turns out not to be true, your opinion, if it's not something that's recklessly libeling someone, remember, slander is the spoken word, libel is the written word. I'm not in the business of ever saying that people should be able to slander and libel people. You have to own what you do. If you write that somebody serially cheats on their spouse and they can prove that you're an absolute liar and you made that up out of whole cloth, then you should get your ass sued off. But the information superhighway was supposed to be a place that was duty-free, meaning no taxes. And of course, look what they did there. And you were supposed to be able, unbridled, to be able to communicate. Now they have decided. I mean, if you write, for example, if you don't believe, and I forget the gentleman's name, but if you don't believe that the gentleman in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, if you say that he's a man, or even that he was a man, you are going to be deplatformed. He is now the woman of the year by a major periodical. I forget which one. Might be USA Today. If it was some major newspaper or periodical. You can't say that. I think the person's name is Levine or Levine. You should absolutely be able to say. You should be able to say you don't think it's fair that the swimmer who was number 546 or something in the world in terms of men swimming or in the country is now winning all kinds of women's events. You should be able to have an opinion on that. But they're shutting people down because they decide. I was falling asleep at the time last night, but Tucker Carlson had the video and audio of the head of Facebook, not Facebook, Twitter. I forget the guy's name. And it was chilling what he was saying about not believing in free speech. They are controlling right now what can be said. It doesn't get much more dangerous than this.
Fox News commentary.
I'm Jimmy Failla, and I'll tell you about the latest Washington sequel that nobody wants to watch. Next.
With each mortgage-free home, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation delivers on its promise to do good and never forget the sacrifices America's greatest heroes have made for us. These heroes who have risked their lives for our country and our communities need your help now more than ever. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
House announced that Jen Psaki has gotten COVID for a second time in 5 months, despite being vaccinated and boosted. Now I understand that everything gets a sequel in Hollywood these days, but I did not see Psaki circling back on COVID. Hopefully she's holding up better than the White House's claim that it's a pandemic of the unvaccinated. I mean, this story jumped the shark a long time ago. And it's a good thing it cleared the shark, because if it got eaten, the media would have claimed it was a COVID death. But can we just acknowledge that the whole point of a vaccine mandate was the White House insistence that vaccinated people couldn't get or spread COVID, ergo everyone had to get vaxxed so the virus would stop spreading. People lost their jobs over this mandate. People got arrested protesting this mandate. But the one thing nobody has done from this mandate is stop getting COVID. I'm no medical expert. In fact, most medical experts think it's a miracle I've lived this long given some of the lifestyle choices I make. But if the White House thinks they're going to mandate boosters after this, they don't have a shot. I'm Jimmy Failla.
Serving South Jersey for 81 years at 1450 AM.
This is WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
That is true, and this is Hurley in the Morning, and I guess when you do the math, we've been around for more than one-third of the entire existence of this heritage, iconic number one, all because of you, talk radio station. Oh, my goodness. Still so much to share. I don't want to talk about I do want to say one more thing about Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. And it's sad to me because this is where we find ourselves in this bizarro world chapter of American history. A United States Supreme Court nominee. This is a senator that posed this question. We have interviewed her probably four times. She's absolutely fantastic. And she didn't know, she honestly, because I heard her respond to it, Marsha Blackburn, she didn't even think that her question was going to create the stir that it has. She asked the Supreme Court nominee, Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, to define, or I forget exactly how she worded it, to define or describe what a woman is. In other words, what constitutes being a woman? Now, she is one. You'd think she could answer that. Now, I think she made a mistake when she said she's not a biologist, because that betrays the whole problem right there. How can you not have an answer? And I believe the reason is she didn't want to give an answer, because we are now all being expected to walk on eggshells about everything. So she gives some description about what a woman is, and then that doesn't fit with whatever narrative of this moment. You might remember it was a major newspaper in America that said that basically women are going to have to suck it up and just get used to men's genitalia in their bathroom. Now, whoever heard of such a thing? Why does anybody have to get used to anything like that? But this is where we are right now. Sort of analysis by paralysis. You can't answer anything, because to answer it is worse than the grief you're going to take for not answering it. Think about that calculus. All right, well, if I start saying, being born a woman, but then there are people who are not born a woman, who are women. Look, I have no issue whatsoever with anyone that wants to identify any way they want to identify. Yes, I think it gets ridiculous that there are people that identify one day as a woman, one day as a man. I think that's very confusing. I think it's very unfair. I think it's really creepy that you might be in a woman's bathroom on Monday and a men's bathroom on Tuesday. I don't think anything about that is right. But in terms of identifying, or if you transition, and I mean, I am familiar with this topic all the way back to 1989. And I worked with a person that transitioned from a man to a woman. I knew it was going on. I never said anything, because all of a sudden his hair was getting very, very long. And long hair was not in style then. Mustaches on men were in style then, but long hair was not. And I remember thinking, I know exactly what's going on here. And then one day we're going to hear something. And sure enough, the senior vice president that I reported to at the time, a very, very good man, brought all the department heads in, and he told us that, and I won't even say the person's real first name, although I remember this person and I like this person very much. And the person, I don't even want to, if I start picking names, then somebody's going to think I'm really saying the real names, but I'm not. But the person we were told on a Friday that starting on Monday, this person who was Joe, it wasn't his name, on Monday would be Jane. And it was true. And on Monday, the person was in a dress and completely made up, makeup and everything. And guess what? And I'm talking about roughneck type employees and different classifications. Everybody was great. There was no lengthy, we didn't have to go to sensitivity training or any kind of counseling about, now be very careful, and this is what you have to do. And this, everybody was fine and accepting. And I didn't hear anybody ever making fun or being judgmental. And that was 1989. What I don't think is acceptable, we have to find a way to respect, to be decent, to do the right thing, and recognize that someone can be born one way and every fiber of their being believe that they are the opposite gender, or in fact, no gender at all. I mean, there's so many different possibilities. So I'm completely on board. I've been on board before any of these lunatics that make everything political started all the stuff that they did to divide people. And we had no issue at all. Hotel, engineering, I mean, every single classification, housekeeping, environmental services, you name it, every single department within hotel operations, everybody was on board. Everybody was terrific about it. And it really, because nobody made it some big eventful announcement and pronouncement and all these things, it was nothing. And then starting on Monday, I referred to this person by their name. And that was that. There was no prejudice. There was no anything. Everything was fine. But what we, and the Supreme Court is going to have to decide this. And that's why I think Ketanji Brown Jackson should have had a comment about what does a woman mean to her, because she's going to have to decide on this. Because at some point, the Supreme Court is going to have to make a ruling. And I believe, I shouldn't say that. I don't know which way it's going to go. I had an initial inclination, because the decision that's going to be before the court, and I guarantee you, this is going to get there. They're going to have to decide if you were born a biological man. Of course you can. This is America. You can transition and become a woman, but I don't believe you should be able to compete. A high school boy on Friday, I don't think should be able to compete in girls' sports on Monday of the next week. It's not fair. And they always talk about we have to follow the science. Then damn it, let's follow the science. The genetics say it's completely unfair. I forget the number. I used to know it. Do you know there used to be something like 600 or maybe 1,000 men tennis players who could beat Serena Williams? There's an advantage. Physically, men have an advantage over women. And I really do believe this. I've got to run to the break. I'm a little bit late. I believe there is I don't want to call it a compromise. I believe there is a solution to this issue where total and utter respect can be shown, but at the same time, you have to recognize, by the way, what about Title IX? I mean, girls, women won this right. And now what? Men are going to be able to just, and look, you know there will be bad actors. that will just want to compete where they can win. That has to be, this country has to codify and do it in a way that's not discriminatory. It can be you are recognized as a woman in society, but because genetically you were born a male, you cannot compete in girl or women's sports. I mean, tell me if you think there's something wrong about that. Because I don't see how that's fair. If you don't somehow create boundaries here, that from a social standpoint, from a societal evolutionary standpoint, from a total recognition and rights standpoint, with the exception of competition, physical competition, because you maintain an advantage. And I would think that that's how this should be adjudicated. Full recognition and full rights, but you cannot ignore. And these poor girls were afraid to say anything for the longest time because they're going to get canceled and destroyed and ruined and be called all kinds of terrible names. You're not a terrible person. You're a good person. You can be a very good person and just believe that that's physically not fair. And that better get to the Supreme Court in a hurry, because this is becoming a big problem.
This is the Town Square, New Jersey Info and Weather Network.
And this is Harry Hurley with three stories that you can follow on our WPG Talk Radio app. A violent attack on the boardwalk in Atlantic City. I wrote the article. We have the details. March 2nd, 1962. I had so much fun writing this article yesterday. Wilt Chamberlain scored 100 points in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Tom Cantone was in the arena. Read all about it. And a Summers Point two-car crash that we've written about and confirmed with someone having to be extra.
From the Town Square, New Jersey Info and Weather Network, I'm Chief Meteorologist Dan Zarrow. We should catch breaks in rainfall action during the daytime hours today, but our storm system isn't quite done with us yet. On and off rain showers today might need the umbrella and windshield wipers at times. Cloudy skies, high temperature around 60 degrees. One more big push of rain coming tonight with a low of 48. Showers wrap up tomorrow morning, then a nice day. Breaks of sun, breezy and mild, high of 62. Get weather 24/7 wherever you are. Download our free mobile app today.
Hurley in the morning. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and on the WPG Talk Radio app. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, thank you. Welcome back. It is 40 minutes past the hour. Now that we've gotten everybody a little bit awake, I do want to take this opportunity to wish our second child, Lauren, a very happy birthday. 36 years ago today, and this would have been tonight, I remember exactly where I was. I was in my mother-in-law's living room, and many times when I wanted to watch a basketball game or something like that, and we were at Margie's mom's, I would lay down on the carpet, put a pillow behind my head. Typically, it would be one of the couch cushions or something, pillows on the couch. And I was watching Michael Jordan. Margie, correct me if I'm misrepresenting anything. I'm watching Michael Jordan, who nobody realized when he was on North Carolina and playing within Dean Smith's very disciplined system, which if you remember that team, Michael Jordan played with James Worthy, and I'm forgetting some of the other incredible names. People forget James Worthy, who played for the Lakers, was one of the greatest NBA players ever. He was fantastic. Michael Jordan was tremendous in college, but he was not allowed to really break out because he played within a system. Remember, they didn't have a shot clock then, and many times Dean Smith would play four corners. It was not exciting, but it was very strategic and very effective. And so I am watching Michael Jordan and North Carolina in March Madness. And it's pretty late in the tournament, probably a little later than Sweet 16 because, like everything, baseball now ends in early November. Remember, Mr. October, I mean, it was always supposed to be over in October, and now you have Derek Jeter, Mr. November, and the season going at least several days every year into November, which I'm sure it will again this year. I think we were somewhere near the Final Four, if I remember correctly. I don't remember exactly what time. It was evening. And I hear Margie, who I'm in the living room, and Margie was towards the dining room or kitchen area. And I hear Margie go, "Harry!" And this is full disclosure. And it shows you the difference maybe between first and second. You know, you're like a veteran once you've had one child. And I said to Margie, I said, "Oh, no!" But I was kidding. And we had to leave. I left the game to go to what was then called the Atlantic City Hospital. There was no Atlantic Care Regional Medical Center, City Campus or whatever it's called, and the mainland division. Atlantic City Hospital. I said, "Margie, you're writing me." Exactly correct. There's some things you never forget. I'll never forget them going, "Oh, no," because I was very happy, and we knew it could be any minute, any day. And if you know my life story, that's how my life goes. Right then and there, I was an official in those days. I love basketball, loved college basketball, loved officiating high school basketball. And I was so comfortable. And the game was so good. I'll try to look that game up. March 24th, 1986. Let me see what that game was. Siri, what was the North Carolina men's basketball score on March 24th, 1986. Now, there's a possibility it was March 23rd.
March 24th, 1986. They beat you and I by a score of 86-69 on November 10th, 2017.
Now, Siri gave me a score from 2017. I've got to get the break in. It's 45 minutes past the hour. I'm going to look this up during the break. I'm trying to remember. I believe the game would have been on the night of the 23rd, and we went to the hospital, and Lauren came sometime, I think, well after midnight. For some reason, like, maybe, Margie, tell me if I'm right here. Something tells me, like, maybe, like, I don't want to guess. I can't remember. I do remember telling the doctor not to go home, and he didn't listen to me. Now, there's a possibility that was with Robert 3 years after that, come to think of it. He goes, "I'm going to go home and get some sleep." I said, "I'm telling you right now, don't go home. Do not go home. This baby is coming." He says, "No, Harry, we have time." I said, "I'm telling you, we don't have time." And I think it was Robert, because I'd been through this twice now with Margie. And Margie just backed me up. It was Robert. I almost begged. I was very assertive. I didn't beg. I was directing. And the doctor was awesome. Don't get me wrong. He barely got back. It was me and two nurses in the delivery room. And this baby is coming. Thank God. The doctor returned, and he didn't even go do what he usually does. He came right in. And one time I said to him, I said, "I told you not to leave." And it was, I got to tell you, it was stressful, because I know the nurses would have gotten it done, but come on. I mean, you're talking about your wife, you're talking about your child, and there was some excitement there, I'll tell you that. But let me look up that game, because I don't know that I ever paid attention to, like, what happened, because I left somewhere. I think it was maybe in the third quarter or something. was getting later into the game, or second half, rather. College has two halves. All right, let's get the break in. We'll be back in just a little bit. Open forum next hour. We'll get to the 8 o'clock hour and figure that out. And then we have Paul Rotella, the president and the chief executive officer of the New Jersey Broadcasters Association. I've been mentioning how many big things are happening. You've got just this weekend, you've got the New Jersey GOP statewide summit. You have the 65th anniversary gala of Atlanta County Junior Football League. And you also have, and I want to be at all three, but I can't. You also have this amazing Stockton University event that should be taking place over at the Boathouse. Isn't that hilarious to say that? But it's going to be taking place at a beautiful part of the Atlantic City campus of Stockton University when the Stockton University Rowing will honor Dr. John Holland and Sue Peterson, two absolute rowing legends. All right, we'll be back. Don't go away. This is
Hurley in the Morning, WPG Talk Radio 95.5, and on the WPG Talk Radio app.
Hi, it's Mark Levin. Join me this evening at 6. Now back to Hurley in the Morning on WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM, 1450 AM, South Jersey's talk station.
Thank you, great one. You know, I was giving thought to this piece that I did about Wilt Chamberlain. I felt like Satchmo on the Bowery Boys. I looked up the infamous game. Auburn defeated North Carolina in that game in 1986, and it was indeed the Sweet 16 round. I was thinking it was Elite Eight. So, and also, if you're wondering, and I had some pretty cool hang time with this NBA great, Charles Barkley graduated 2 years before Michael Jordan. He was not at that game. He had graduated in 84. And, of course, went on to an incredible Hall of Fame career for the Sixers and I guess the Phoenix Suns it was, right? But anyhow, I wrote this article about Wilt Chamberlain, and many times when I look at who's the greatest player in NBA history, I default to Michael Jordan. It's clearly not LeBron James. There's all these people say it's LeBron James. And look, he's going to probably wind up, if he stays healthy, next year or the year after, probably next year, if he has a typical season, he will become the all-time scoring leader of the NBA and pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. But it's a longevity award. He didn't go to college. He got those extra years right out of high school. And of course, it's very rare to be talented enough to be an impact player right out of high school. But that did give him like four extra years, if you think about it. But then you look at him now, he's got a lot of extra miles on the tires because of getting started so young. But it's Wilt Chamberlain. Wilt Chamberlain is the greatest player in the history of the game. I don't have all of his stats. No one will ever score 100 points again. And if you want to read about that, go to our app, go to the website. Hershey, Pennsylvania, March 2nd, 1962, Wilt Chamberlain scored 100 points by himself. Of course, with his team that fed him, and they really wanted to get him to the 100 points. The team scored 167, so it was a very high-scoring game. They beat the New York Knicks. They were not even the Sixers then. They were the Philadelphia Warriors. I'm not even sure it was the NBA. Might have been called just professional basketball. But anyhow, Wilt Chamberlain has averaged 50 points for an entire season. I think Michael Jordan has had more 50-point games than anyone else, and it's not 82 or however many games they played in a season. They had to change the game. I should have put this in my article, but I just thought about it. They had to change the rules of the game because Wilt Chamberlain was so dominating. They created the three-second lane. That did not exist. You could hang out in the paint as long as you wanted. They changed the rules of the game because he was so great. The only thing that Wilt couldn't do, but on this one magical night, he even did that. He was a terrible free throw shooter. He shot 51% for a career, but just an awful free throw shooter. He used to shoot conventional. He would then do this shot put thing. He did underhand. I mean, he tried everything. But when he, the night that he scored 100 points, he shot 87.5%, 28 out of 32 attempts. He never replicated anything like that, even close to it, ever again. He was kind of the hack of Shaq before they started to do that to Shaquille O'Neal. Remember, they used to have to take Shaquille O'Neal out strategically at the end of certain games because the league caught on and they called it hack a Shaq. You would just foul Shaquille O'Neal and he would miss the free throws and you'd get back in the game. By the way, for some reason I can't even explain, I woke up last night. I think it's because I actually fell asleep a little earlier than usual. I think I fell asleep at about 20 after 8. And next thing I know, I thought, wait a minute, the Sixers are in Los Angeles. And it was like 1 o'clock or something. I said, that game might still be on. And I put it on, and there was 5 minutes left in the game. I think it's the first time this season I've watched any of the Sixers. And I have to say, it really solidifies why I love following them in the box score. And I know their record. I think they're now 45 and 27. They're a game and a half out of first place. You've got four teams in the Eastern Conference within a game and a half of each other. The Sixers right now are in second place by percentage points, but they're one of the three teams that are a game and a half out. And they beat the team, Miami, that's first, two nights ago. So I'm watching this, and it's just terrible basketball. I just got to be honest. It's terrible. And actually, I thought maybe the Sixers were going to blow it. They had like an 8-point lead with less than a minute to go, and you start to think, wow, the way they play this game now, it's not a big lead. I mean, that could just go. And they did have a shot to make it a 2-point game and missed it. But I default now that Wilt Chamberlain is the greatest of all time. He didn't do it like Michael Jordan with the whole Air Jordan stuff, the tongue wagging, come fly with me, and all the things that he could do were spectacular. It's easy to say Jordan, but go look at the statistics. Wilt Chamberlain was a dominating force and put numbers that just will never look. No one, I could be proven wrong someday, but it's already been 50 years, or actually 60 years. 60 years. No one has ever scored 100 points ever again. And I don't think they ever will. Open Forum begins right now.
WPGG Atlantic City, WENJ HD3 Millville, a Town Square Media station. Everything you need to know in 6 minutes starts now.
Our six.
From Harry Hurley Way in the world's playground to the broadcast pioneers of Philadelphia Hall of Fame.
I want to congratulate my friend, Harry Hurley.
You're about to find out why Harry Hurley has been named to the Talkers Magazine list of the 100 most important talk show hosts in the nation. Live from the studios of Town Square Media in Northfield, it's Hurley in the Morning on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Well, this is going to be great. I know that Senator Palestina is up to good work today, and John Zarek has given us the opportunity in the first segment to visit with both John, because after all, it is Smart Law with John Zarek, and with Senator Palestina. So let's say good morning to both. John, good morning to you.
Good morning, Harry.
Hey, hey, hey.
And Senator Palestina.
And there he is, Senator Palestina. Good morning. It's Harry and John.
Good morning, Harry. Good morning, John. How are you this morning?
Very, very well.
Good.
Just great. Thank you.
Thanks for giving me a few minutes, John. Just wanted to offer a couple of things, kind of some breaking news. First of all, I want to wish Lauren a very happy birthday. You know, all of our nurses have been heroes over the last couple of years, you know, on the front lines dealing with the trying to save people's lives as we dealt with this pandemic. And so a shout out to Lauren on her birthday and to all the nurses and all the doctors and all the healthcare professionals who have had to deal with very challenging times over the last couple of years.
Thank you for remembering to remember, and happy birthday, Lauren. Senator, tell everybody what you're up to today.
So I headed to Trenton today, Harry and John, and I just wanted to update you. We have I have a bill that has been drafted and will be introduced today, which will give local government services and the Department of Community Affairs oversight of the Atlantic City Board of Education. And I know you have reported on this quite a bit, Harry. I saw a bunch of the articles on it, and this was really a result of the issue between Stockton University and the City of Atlantic City Board of Education related to the boathouse and the rowing program that Stockton had operated out of there and invested, you know, tens of thousands of dollars into the rowing program in the City of Atlantic City. You know, we got on a Zoom with the Department of Community Affairs, Jacqueline Suarez, who runs local government services, and questioned how can the DCA allow something like this to happen? Stockton has bought boats. Stockton has invested in that facility. Stockton has put $240 million into the City of Atlantic City. How in the world can the state let something like this happen? And the response we got was that the current Municipal Recovery and Stabilization Act does not give DCA the ability to oversee the local Board of Education. And so you just question to yourself, you know, all local governments, the Board of Education is the biggest driver of the tax burden.
Yeah.
In the
hey,
city.
Senator, by the way, I don't believe that. I don't believe that for a second, because I've done interviews with the former board president, who's now board member, John Devlin, and others on the topic. The state, because of the transitional aid that they provide to the City of Atlantic City through the Board of Education, has tremendous control and influence. You just about got lied to there.
Well, we went to OLS and they confirmed that maybe they were doing something because of the transitional aid, but there was no specific piece of legislation, which has now been drafted and will be introduced today, giving the local government services the ability to oversee and regulate the Board of Education.
Yeah, they need a full takeover just like the city. I mean, it's possible. It's hard. It's like a tie goes to the runner. They may be more dysfunctional than the city. And that's, I mean, my head wants to spontaneously combust even trying to figure the difference between the two. They're both that bad. But they easily, I approve and agree to codify it, and it's smart to make that and have that finality. But they could easily squeeze them and say, look, this transitional aid is not coming. You're making decisions that are not in the best interest of the city. So I think we can agree they could have applied leverage even before this legislation, but the legislation is smart and it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, we have to do it, because that was the concern they expressed, that they didn't have anything specific which would allow them to do it. This absolutely will. And just, if you are a taxpayer in the City of Atlantic City, of course, you know, crushed with the tax burden over there, businesses, residents, you must advocate for this legislation to be passed, because there is no way to get the city's finances under control without having regulatory authority over the Board of Education. That is the biggest driver of the tax burden. Taxes are crazy over there. They keep going up, and we got to get this situation handled and go get it reversed.
Senator, here's one more thing that this legislation will enable to happen. For 20 years, and it could be longer, my own audit has confirmed 20 years, because it's the length of time that one board member that we feature on this program has been on the board, and he confirmed on air last week that the Atlantic City Board of Education, for at least 20 years that he can testify to, has spent more than $500,000 a year in rent. Now, that's why while they own two schools that are not being used that they could use for offices, and also they could have had the Carnegie Library in the deal of 2019 that should have gone down, that verbally was agreed to. Stockton even moved out because it was supposed to happen. Stockton would have gotten the boathouse. So then you would have Stockton, and the number is $280 million that they have invested when you count the phase one, phase two, and an additional $10 million that they fund in other support things that they do around the entire city. $280 million that they've invested, and their rowing program is currently in Brigantine, and that is a disgrace.
It is, and it's amazing when you start peeling back the onion on some of this stuff, Harry. I wonder where that $500,000 a year is going to, and I think that'll be additional investigations to try to figure out what is going on there. This This city, this Board of Education is more out of control than at any time in my lifetime, Harry. They are doing things which are just unbelievable and getting away with it. And if the state doesn't take a real focus, you know, and get this stuff turned around, this city is going to be in precarious position because of New York Gaming coming, because of the competition. They are just doing things which are not helpful to creating a tourist economy, tourist destination for people to visit in the future. It is just unbelievable. It is frustrating. We're going to do everything we can to get it reversed, fixed, and position us for growth and prosperity because that city is so important to this entire region.
No question. Let me give you a closing comment, and then we'll go right into John's program.
Just wanted to say thanks to you and thanks to John for the time. I just wanted to be able to come on and let you know the efforts that we're undertaking. Obviously, the city is a focus of ours, and we're going to continue to do these efforts, which will get the situation for the city of Atlantic City under control. 44 years, billions of dollars. The city, in many aspects, still looks like hell, and we got to get this fixed. We only have 3 or 4 years before New York Gaming comes. And it should be a focus of everyone around here to get this city government under control. And I call on city council, you know, those elected representatives to stop just toeing the line. They have to step up. This is the time. We must do it.
Senator, before you jump, John, anything for Senator Palestina?
Just want to say it's an honor to have you on the show.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it. Good luck with the rest of the show.
Safe travel, Senator, and congratulations. This is why you're in there and why the district put you in there, the citizens of District 2, because these are serious times, and you're absolutely correct. We saw what happened when Pennsylvania opened. Philadelphia had gaming. I remember all the geniuses said, oh, it's only going to cost us 6% of the convenience gambler. I said, well, look, I'm a long time out of the business, but I was pretty good at it, and I spent more than a decade as an executive. I said, we're going to lose at least 80% of the convenience gambler. Philly crushed us from a convenience gambler standpoint. You can imagine what New York having casinos will mean. We have to be the best version of Atlantic City gaming that we've ever been in time to compete.
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing truer could be said with everything going on right now, Harry.
Thank you, Senator. Safe travels.
Anytime. Thank you. Thank you. Talk to you soon.
You know it. When we come back, it's 15 minutes past the hour. It is Smart Law with John Zarek, with John. And thank you, John, for that. Talk about value added. I am now going to, during each break, I will be writing a nice piece for the website. You can read it as soon as I get it done. I'll get it done this hour or early next. WPGTalkRadio.com or the WPG smartphone app. Back with John Zarek right after this. It is Smart Law with John Zarek and yours truly.
Early in the morning, WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and on the WPG Talk Radio app. Sean Hannity this afternoon at 3. Now, early in the morning on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Ladies and gentlemen, John Zarek is the official, the exclusive lead counsel for criminal defense matters for the Early in the Morning program. And John, there was no planning. That was organic. That happened basically minutes before airtime. And of course, I asked John first, would it be okay to bring Senator Palestina on, because this is John's time, and that's called professionalism. It's called respect. And John could not have been, as you gathered, could not have been more collegial and helpful. John, thank you for that opportunity. That was a major breaking news item. That those who missed it, check the podcast later, but that was definitive that Senator Palestina, while driving to Trenton right now to take on the issue of proposing legislation that would give the state of New Jersey further control over decisions made by the Atlantic City Board of Education. For example, the city has veto authority. Any hiring, any action, a paperclip to be purchased, they can say no. They can say yes. They need to codify that. And John, thank you for the opportunity to break that news this morning with Senator Palestina and you.
My pleasure, Harry. It's really an ongoing pleasure to have Senator Palestina in office. We supported him on the show, certainly supported him, gave my opinion that he would be a great senator and certainly so much head and shoulders above the competition. And also, I supported him financially, too. And I say this to my Republican friends out there and to Democratic friends who are tired of the Democratic Party and want to feel good about their who they support on a daily basis. You know, they certainly can switch to Republican or vote Republican or make donations to Republican candidates. This is a fight for the existence of our country. We can't ignore it. It's the reality. We might not want to face that reality, but that's really what's going on. And, you know, for that reason, it's, you know, one of the most important things we can do in politics. Certainly we want to join our local clubs, be active in local campaigns and county campaigns and statewide campaigns and national campaigns. It's an opportunity to have really a disproportionate impact on our country's future. It's good to vote. Certainly it's good to vote. But when you have an opportunity to make a donation to support a candidate, that is extremely important. You become, when you make a donation and support a candidate, and I do that with virtually every Republican candidate who's running, you become a super supporter. You know, you become someone who has far more impact than one single vote. You know, you're helping the candidate get an extra 10, 50, 100, 500, 1,000 votes out there, all of any of which can be crucial, any of which can be the vote that sends that candidate over the top. So, and also, you know, it was such a pleasure to have Senator Paulstein on the show because I did support him financially. I did make a campaign donation to him. I have an ongoing satisfaction. I have a satisfaction that many other people don't have the ability to have because they didn't make a donation. They may have contributed in other ways, but I feel good about writing that check every day of the week. Every time I see him, every time I hear his name, every time I have an opportunity to interact as today, I feel good that I made that investment in our county's future, in the state's future, in the country's future by supporting a really good Republican candidate, someone who stands for the values that we all, certainly all the listeners on this show stand for, the basic values of American life, the flag, support the military, support law enforcement. And we'll talk about that a little more later on, law enforcement, in connection with the new law, the marijuana law, the drug law. Support law enforcement, support solid, non-controversial education, the basics, reading, writing, arithmetic, support strong family life. These are the things that Republicans stand for. So many of these things are anathema to members of the Democratic Party, and I'm sorry to say, the members of the Democratic Party that are in control today. Good national defense. We are in a horrible situation now because we didn't assert ourselves. We didn't do things. We took the priority of the extreme left as the priority of the nation. And consequently, we are in big trouble internationally. We caused that war. The Democratic Party and the Biden administration caused this war in Ukraine in that they never, ever put the hammer down on Putin ahead of time. the Trump administration had Putin on his back, ineffectual, unable to afford anything. It's not a wealthy country. It's a poor country, as we're seeing now. They can't even maintain an invasion of a much smaller country. They're getting knocked all over the place on the ground. It's a poor country, and we had them down. Oil prices were $2 a gallon, or gas prices were $2 a gallon. Oil prices were extremely low. We were energy independent and exporting to other countries. And not only that, we had in the pipeline, we had multiple terminals, natural gas terminals, which would have made us even a greater exporter worldwide and would have kept Russia submissive and peaceful because they couldn't afford to fight a war. They couldn't afford to blackmail Europe. We would have been there able to take care of Europe with energy resources had the Trump administration stayed in office. But no, these people came. They by a host of tricks and by a host of illegal, in my opinion, strategies, they took power by the skin of their teeth and immediately started to ignore our national interest, ignore our national defense, and start to hurt our allies around the world. And now they've resulted in the destruction, and it is destroyed. It's largely destroyed already, the destruction of the Ukraine. So, you know, these things are important, and I would encourage everyone to make donations to support. And when I mean support, I mean write a check. I know it's painful. No one likes to write the check, typically. There's always something else competing with that money. It's that $50 or $100 or $500 or $1,000 or, you know, $2,600, which is the limit. So there's always something competing with that. But what really is competing with it? You know, a new bicycle, you know, some extra dinners out at a restaurant. We support our restaurants, of course, but some extra dinners, maybe a donation to something that isn't as compelling. There are lots of competing things, but once you make that donation to a candidate such as Senator Palestina and others, you have the satisfaction of that you did the right thing and you're part of the solution, and you're part of the solution for our local government and also for the national government by supporting the Republican Party. You have that for the duration of their term. It feels good. It feels good to me every single day.
And John, we talked, maybe we can talk about this a little bit on the other side, but I know you lost 10 minutes and you have a lot of content. But we talked yesterday how important, how quick, because of the census and the 10-year process, that you have the four-year term, then the 2-year term. So this is already nearing an election year. And we talk a lot about on this program how that second election, the sophomore one, that's the one where you're the most vulnerable. You can have a great victory, which they've had in districts 1, 2, and 3 now. First time in history, John, that this has happened, that Republicans have had all 3 legislative seats in districts 1, 2, and 3. But before you know it, exactly what you're talking about is going to be before us. First, the midterm elections, but then it's going to be for complete and total control of the New Jersey legislature, including all these gains that have happened here in the southern portion of the state at a historic, unprecedented level. And that can, those gains can be lost as quick as they were earned. See if you have a comment on that, John, on the other side of the break. 30 minutes past the hour with John Zarek. I am Hurley in the Morning.
This is the Town Square, New Jersey Info and Weather Network.
Thank you. It is 31 minutes past the hour, and it's still me, Harry Hurley, with 3 stories that you can follow on our WPG Talk Radio app. A violent attack on the boardwalk in Atlantic City. I wrote the article. It's been heavily read. Check it out. March 2nd, 1962, Wilt the Stilt Chamberlain scored 100 points in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Tom Cantone was in the house. Dr. Ben Carson and GOP stars coming to Atlantic City tomorrow and Saturday, and a Summers Point two-car crash that we have all the details.
From the Town Square, New Jersey Info and Weather Network, I'm Chief Meteorologist Dan Zarrow. We should catch breaks in rainfall action during the daytime hours today, but our storm system isn't quite done with us yet. On and off rain showers today might need the umbrella and windshield wipers at times. Cloudy skies, high temperature around 60 degrees. One more big push of rain coming tonight with a low of 48. Showers wrap up tomorrow morning, then a nice day. Breaks of sun, breezy and mild, high of 62. Get weather 24/7 wherever you are. Download our free mobile app today.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
Today.
From the world's playground, this is Hurley in the Morning on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Featuring Smart Law with John Zarek. Counselor, time is yours.
Yes, Harry. I reiterate, it's so important to support candidates, Republican candidates, and candidates with writing a check, with donating money, certainly also working in campaigns, joining your local Republican club, getting involved. What's that mean? It means you go to the Republican club meeting and you pay your very small dues, typically a small amount of money, 20 bucks or something like that. You sign up as a member, which means you have a vote. And there are lots and lots of things to do. No one will order you to do anything. No one will order you to write a check, to make donations, to do any work. Everything is voluntary. So, you know, if you do those, but there's plenty of opportunity to help. And it's really interesting and really exciting. And I've had this experience for many years. Really exciting to understand how the system works, how it really works. You think you know how it works, but until you join a club, until you go to meetings, until you see the debates, until you decide, you see how candidates are selected and how campaigns are run. And you could do all this without a great deal of involvement yourself. Hopefully you would get involved in these activities, but just to be there and understand, it's a different world, you know, to do that instead of simply going and voting. We want you to vote. We want you to be a supporter of the recovery at this stage and reclamation of our state, of our country. But for your own personal satisfaction, join your local Republican club. Every municipality has one. Every has one. They meet regularly. They're easy to find. Go to those meetings. And very exciting, too, because with the redistricting in Galloway Township, for example, and I know we have a lot of listeners in Galloway Township, Galloway Township is no longer aligned with Ocean County. Galloway Township is now aligned with the rest of Atlantic County and the rest of the district. So, you know, especially a lot of new strength in Galloway Township, a lot of exciting things. And to show how good that Republican club is and how effective it is, there are 7 council seats in Galloway Township, including the mayor. 7 of those are Republicans. In the last election, 4 Republican candidates won, to add to 3 that were there already. So the people that were part of that, the people that supported those candidates financially, very satisfying. The people that supported those candidates by working and getting involved and understanding the issues and speaking up with regard to the issues, very satisfying. And for every individual, of course, who voted Republican, very, very satisfying. So, there's a tremendous opportunity that I think too many people don't avail themselves of. Get involved, give support, and enjoy life a lot more every day because you do. It's an opportunity to do the right thing. And we need support, not just, I mean, the state needs support, the community needs support, and the country needs support, Republican support. You have the opportunity now to make a change nationally, because when Republican candidates get supported, it adds to the momentum of the Republican Party. It adds to the national support of the Republican Party. And it allows every candidate nationwide to do better. Because when the opposition has to spend money to defeat the hard work of Republicans, even if we aren't successful in every single race, the other side has to spend money to compete in those races. That's money that can't be spent in other close districts and other close elections, that even if you're unsuccessful in this one, it's money that can't be spent in other close races. And if that money can't be sent by the opposition, then Republicans candidates can win elsewhere. And it's so we want to have that support. We need that support, and the country depends on it.
John, that's a very smart comment that you just made. And those are the kinds of things that when the right people are in the right places, that's magical, actually, because victories can be counted in many, many different ways. An actual race that's won, or strategically competing hard, falling short perhaps, but scoring victories elsewhere because of not ceding, and I mean that C-E-D-E, ceding that kind of scenario. I like that. I like that a lot. Final break. We'll be back. It's 43 minutes past the hour. This is Smart Law with John Zarek and yours truly tagging along. That would be me.
Early in the morning, WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. Join me this afternoon at 3. Now back to Harry Hurley on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
My good friend Paul Rotella will be joining us for the 9 o'clock hour this morning. There is a huge event that's coming to Atlantic City. Atlantic City, despite some of the political dysfunctionality, I mean, on a big-time roll. You have the entire basic hierarchy of the New Jersey GOP coming to Atlantic City tomorrow and Saturday. We will be speaking on both days. We'll be moderating a panel on tomorrow night with the leader of the Senate Republicans, the leader of the Assembly Republicans, and at least two or three other distinguished Republicans that will be on that panel. It's going to be a discussion about successes in the last year or so, and what is going to happen going forward, what must happen going forward, sort of what John is talking about during his show this morning, how important all this is. And then on Saturday, I will be on a panel with Rich Zeoli from WPHT, Dom Giordano, WPHT Radio, Matt Rooney, who is a political observer and an attorney. And the topic is hot button issues, four conservative talk radio hosts, 1 hour, something else, and zero dead air is what it's being billed as. That's tomorrow and Saturday. Then you have the 65th annual celebration of the Atlantic County Junior Football League. That's tomorrow night at Bally's. The things we'll be doing will be at Harrah's Casino in the Marina District. And what am I leaving out? Oh, just for fun and giggles, Stockton University, and it should be taking place in the Boathouse, but obviously that dysfunctionality prevents that from happening. So it'll be over at the Atlantic City campus in the Hamer iconic space. Stockton University Rowing is honoring the legendary Dr. John Holland and the legendary Sue Peterson, two incredible rowing giants. So all this is going on. And then Rotella in April, I think it's the 14th of April, he'll be talking about this next hour, is going to be part of a big event that's coming, a chamber event that's coming. And the keynote speaker at that event will be Governor Phil Murphy himself. So, John, I turn it back to you. Time is yours, Counselor.
Yes, Harry. I just want to let you know and let our listeners know that Claire Swift just texted me. There was the second Republican club meeting of the year in Margate, and over 70 people attended that meeting.
Wow.
70 people at a Republican club meeting. They raised over $2,000 in dues. You know, that's just small dollar dues, no big deal. Over $2,000 in dues and donations, because a lot of people, they see what's going on in the country. They see what's going on in New Jersey. They see what's going on in the world. They don't want this to continue. So people are walking into Republican clubs as they did in Margate, according to Claire Swift. She was there. I was not. But they walk in, they're walking into Republican clubs and saying, here's a check. I want to be part of the change. I want to be part of defeating these people who are anti-police, anti-children, anti-national defense, anti-oil and gas, anti-everything. Everything that makes sense. These really, they're not just disagreeing with us. These are people that are out of their minds. And we have to say that to want to defund the police. And they're still at it. You'd think they had learned their lesson in the last election, where they got trounced in New Jersey anyway, trounced completely. You think they'd learned their lesson? No. There's a hearing on the drug money, and it is drug money, the marijuana sales that's now legal, cannabis, as they say, which is now legal. There's lots and lots of money to be made there, and lots of taxes that's to be made. I can tell you one thing. The tax money will be opposed, I guess you'd say, balance the taxes on one hand and 10 times the damage on the other to our youth and our communities, because of this marijuana. Now it's going to be a marijuana surge, where you're going to have 12-year-olds smoking marijuana regularly, because their 18 or 21-year-old friends can easily get lots and lots and lots of legal marijuana, so-called legal marijuana.
Hey, John, not like you need backup or anything, because as far as I'm concerned, anything you say is good as gold, because you're a man of unquestioned integrity. But Mayor Vaughn Real, who was a great mayor of Margate, was at the meeting that you described, and he said about everything that you said in describing it, he wrote, true. So not that you needed backup or validation, but for our listeners, I just wanted to give them that and for you to hear that. Back to you.
Yeah. So how do you fight the fight against the marijuana people? Here's what's going on. The law's passed, the money's coming in. There were hearings recently in Trenton, probably ongoing, where what did the Democrats say during those? Essentially, spend the money on, quote, the community. Don't spend it on the police, right? As if living in a safe house, a safe environment, not having your kids shot dead on the street in front of your house is not an issue that people care about. You know, that's not spending it on the community, according to these people. To have police to protect you from being burglarized, protect your kids from being shot, to protect your family from being set upon by predators of all kinds, they don't consider that protecting the community. You know what they consider protecting the community? So they want no money to go to the police. the Democrats who are in control. You know what they call protecting the community, Harry? Protecting the community is hiring, taking this money and hiring countless, and we've seen it before, and it's ongoing with the Democrats, countless people who are designated as coordinators of community outreach, coordination, and diversification, or something like that, right? Hire, that's what we really need. We don't need police to keep your kids from being killed, you know, or keep your house from being broken into. We need these community employees, these government employees who do nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's a scam to get jobs for people who may otherwise be unemployable, except for the fact that they're supporters of the Democratic Party. That's what they're up there screaming for. Spend it on the community. The community doesn't mean you and me or the people of Atlantic City. The community means the people that are, you know, showing up for do-nothing jobs. And I'll give you an example of that. The recreation department in Atlantic City, when Don Guardian became mayor, he laid off the entire recreation department, I think 50 people, who were getting paid tremendous amounts of money. There was nothing to show for those 50 people. Don Guardian was asked, well, what decrease in the recreational services and activities, what's that going to mean in terms of decrease? And what he said was the absolute truth. There will be no decrease because those people weren't doing anything. 50 people out there getting paid lots and lots of money with your tax dollars.
Because they created their own employment agency for their friends and family and whoever they wanted to take care of.
Of course. And they want to do it again now with the drug money, with the marijuana money, the marijuana tax money. They don't want to spend it on concrete things. You put 10 cops on the street, you're going to suppress crime to a great degree. You put 10 additional cops on the street, you're going to suppress crime to a tremendous degree. The bad guys do not like to commit crimes.
Hey, John, this is a shocker. I got to tell you, 30 seconds, closing summation.
How did that happen?
I know.
Well,
ridiculous.
We need to support Republican candidates. We need to support people like Senator Palestina and Don Guardian and Claire Swift. And join your Republican clubs, make donations, hurt a little, exercise, have a little pain, make donations. You'll have ongoing satisfaction, a little pain writing the check, but ongoing satisfaction for years and years to come.
John, thank you for a great hour.
My pleasure. Great pleasure.
This is Smart Law with John Zarek. When we come back, the president and chief executive officer of the New Jersey Broadcasters Association, Paul Rotella.
WPGG Atlantic City, WENJ HD3 Millville, a Town Square Media station. Everything you need to know in 6 minutes starts now.